This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Always texting Charlie, watching our backs. Scott Sievers, our wonderful engineer, is playing around with cameras and YouTube and Facebook, because I know Stevie's doing a lot more live on Facebook in the mornings, he and Diane. And it's a great idea because, you know, not as many of us are driving right now because some of us are stay at home, obviously, and not going to work. But always texting Charlie was like, hey, you kind of got a hot mic somewhere in your studio. And I'm not going to lie to you. Every once in a while, we get show three and four last dance. Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, we get a little out of hand here. So appreciate that. Always texting Charlie. Didn't know that you could hear us, but I don't think anything today was said wrong. Today is one of the good days. So here we go. All right, if you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255. Bill from Troy is turning in to be one of my favorite texters. I used to just not like the negativity.
Never thought I'd see today.
Now, the negativity from Bill, because he hates the NFL. And here, I've never met Bill from Troy. I've driven through Troy. I've eaten the Taco Bell in Troy plenty of times. Little liquor store right by the Taco Bell in Troy. Sometimes I'll load up as I go to St. Louis to get into my hotel room. But Bill does not like the NFL because they took the Rams and moved them out of St. Louis. Now, you could even go further back, and maybe he does, when they took the Cardinals, although that was the Cardinals doing that. That wasn't the NFL. So, although the NFL didn't really move the Rams, right? That was more of the owner.
The owner, yeah.
So Bill says, hey, I get it that you're going to be talking about the draft, but given the choice between listening to President Lysol and NFL talk, I'm just going to drink a beer and find a golf podcast. Have a great day, guys. Catch you another time. Be well. Yes! What golf podcast is out there right now that has anything to talk about? There's no golf.
That's a good point.
Maybe he's listening to an old one. Trevor Valise is joining us now. Last dance.
Probably just sounds from the tee box in Indiana.
Hey, I think you can golf in Illinois starting Friday.
That's right.
That is correct.
Okay.
And I think pairs of two, or is that fishing? Now, one of either fishing or golf, and you can only do it with one other person.
Can I still walk over to a place like Meijer and get in line with 30 people?
Hey, if you're wearing your mask,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If you're not wearing your mask, you'll be fine.
I don't even have to do that yet.
Starting Friday, you do.
Starting Friday, I got to have my mask on. Do you have to have your mask on while you golf?
If you're more than 6 feet apart, I don't believe you need to.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. If you're within 6 feet of someone, wear a mask. If you're not, don't.
Unless you're listening to Future, mask off.
Yeah, right.
Then you can take it off.
I just need to golf with someone that seems to hit the ball left, because I always hit the ball right.
Well, I've never golfed in my life, but would like to start, so I'll volunteer.
There you go.
I don't have any money for clubs, balls, or anything.
You know what does sound good? Going down to like Stone Creek and just hitting a bucket of balls. Just getting outside, doing a little core work.
I want to go to like a batting cage.
Yeah, that sounds good, too.
Just let out some COVID angst.
Boom. Would you do slow pitch, or would you crank it up to 80?
No, I'd crank it up.
Just come on, baby.
Because even though you're going to swing and miss a lot, when you connect, it feels really good.
Oh, it feels good, unless it's kind of cold. And those,
well, that's true.
Listen, those bats aren't exactly professional-grade bats, that you unless you take your own.
Bring your own.
Yeah, you got to bring your own bats. So, for sure on that.
B-Y-O-B. All right.
The last dance last night was shows 3 and 4. Show 3 dealt a lot with Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra and his little bender in Vegas for however many days that was. We could talk
longer
about
than
that.
Supposed to be.
Wow. And Jordan knew it. Michael Jordan said, if you let him go on vacation, we're never getting him back, especially if you let him go to Vegas. And it turns out that Michael Jordan had to actually go to a hotel room, knock on the door and say, Dennis, let's go. We need you back.
That, great story.
How about the fact that they sent Michael?
Yeah, they sent Michael to Vegas.
I bet Michael just said, I'm going.
Yeah, or that.
I bet Michael
Carmen
got
looks
in a few.
And sees who it is. She's there's some story about her hiding behind a couch and a bed sheet, and you have my attention.
I bet you Michael Jordan wanted to play a few hands.
Yeah.
He's never been shy on the gambling, right? So I'm
not think he limited himself just to Atlantic City.
Yeah, no, not at all. Other great things in that, was it Ron Harper in the Cleveland Cavs series when they go to a timeout and Cleveland says, "All right, Craig Elo, who looked like Lon Tay in college with the little blonde flow."
Yep.
And they said, "All right, Craig Elo, you guard Michael Jordan," and Ron Harper was not appreciative of that. We can't say what he said on the air.
No, but it was great.
It was awesome. Who else had some? Oh, Horace Grant talking about the Pistons, right?
I was surprised it took this long for Horace to make an appearance. I know he wasn't on the next three-peat, but he was a big part of those first couple of years.
Can we do this? Trevor, can you bring up the rosters to the first few Bulls championship teams? And I just want to, because I'm seeing guys that I'm like, oh, I forgot about Jed Buchler. And I forgot about, you know.
First three-peat, you got Paxson.
Mm-hmm. John, right? John, yep. Paxson.
I swear that dude did not miss in the 91 finals.
Oh, my. When they finally figured to give the ball to him. And he wouldn't miss. Was Bill Cartwright part of the first three? Or was he part of the last three?
First three. Traded Charles Oakley to get Bill Cartwright.
Okay. Tony Kukoc part of the last three. Yeah, there's just some of those guys on there that I'm watching, and I'm like, all right, I totally, because Ron Harper, wasn't he on some of the Bulls teams that won?
Yes, Ron Harper's on the second three-peat.
Okay. And, of course, Rodman, who
with beat Rodman you, and Longley.
Luke and Bill Winnington. Yeah, those are awesome. Okay.
Was he any good?
Bill Winnington?
Yeah.
He was serviceable. He played his role. Does that make sense? I mean, he was just a big dude.
Gotcha.
So go be a big dude.
You
Bill.
See some of those backup centers in the league in the 90s, and you're like, they would get destroyed in today's game.
I know, but see, back then, that was Kofi's time, right? True. I mean, Kofi would be unbelievable against those guys, but
I think Kofi'd like to play against Bill Winnington.
Oh, absolutely. But everybody had that big guy, or one or two, and you had to have like a Luke Longley and a Bill Winnington. I mean, what was it, Greg Ostertag or whatever was on the Utah Jazz? Everybody had that big dude in the middle, and that's just kind of how it worked. All right, do you have some of the rosters up from the last? Okay.
This is the 1991-92/92-93 rosters combined in one list. It's basically the same roster.
Okay.
B.J. Armstrong, point guard from Iowa.
Forgot about him, and how much of a baby face still is B.J. Armstrong?
Yeah.
B.J. is the one guy that I've told this story before, but the last time my dad ever stepped foot in Assembly Hall, Illinois was beating Iowa by like 16 in the second half, and B.J. Armstrong leads the Hawkeyes back to a win. Neil leaves Assembly Hall with me in tow, saying a few unchoice words that you would have heard last night on The Last Dance, and saying, "I will never come back to this place again," and he never did. Held true to his form. I need to tell
now
B.J.
Now that's
that.
Where I gain respect, because a lot of people go, "I am not watching that again," and then the next day they watch it.
Neil said, "I'm done. Wow. I'm done with that."
Okay, Neil. One other Big Ten player, Trent Tucker, shooting guard.
Oh, yeah. Yes, from Minnesota.
Now, my problem here is I don't know this stuff firsthand, and I'm just reading names, so some of these might be the 14th guy on the bench.
That's fine.
So if you don't recognize it, we'll just roll through it. Ricky Blanton.
Nope.
Bill Cartwright. Joe Courtney.
Nope.
JoJo English.
Oh, yeah. He was
from South Carolina.
He was a long, I think he would have been really old, I think, on that team.
Let's see. Joe Courtney was born in 1962.
Courtney or English?
I'm sorry. JoJo English was born in 1962.
Okay.
So in 1991, that would have made him 31.
Yeah, he was an older player, yeah.
Horace Grant, he went to Clemson. Obviously, Michael Jordan. How about current Bulls announcer, Stacey King?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Was a center on that team. He went to Oklahoma. Rodney McRae went to Louisville.
I remember Rodney McRae in college, but I don't remember him on
He must
the
not
Bulls.
Have done much. Ed Neely from Kansas State, power forward. John Paxson, obviously current / not that current anymore, Bulls front office guy. Will Perdue from Vandy, who does the, I believe it's the post-game Bulls coverage.
Yep.
Obviously, Scottie Pippen, Trent Tucker, I mentioned, Daryl Walker from Arkansas.
Don't remember him.
The backup point guard.
Wow.
Corey Williams, who was the backup point guard from Oklahoma State.
Don't remember him.
And Scott Williams from North Carolina.
Wow.
So that's like 91, 92, 93 range. Let me now go to like 97.
Yeah, because they had like Scott Burrell.
How about him getting called out last night?
Wow.
Yikes. Hope Mrs. Burrell wasn't watching that.
Is he married or was he just dating?
I don't think he was married at the time.
I think he was dating, maybe.
Probably dating.
He's like, boy, you're out all night.
Okay.
Glad he known it comes out 22 years later. So the unless it was his wife, then that's
well, he
that's
may
your
have thought he didn't know if that stuff was coming out the next day.
True.
He's fair like, enough. Oh my.
Do you think they had to call people up for this documentary and be like, hey, this is so-and-so making an ESPN film. Just a heads up. Michael Jordan sort of, you know, outed you and talked crap about you.
You
just
may,
thought you should know.
Yeah, you may want to, you and your wife may want to be doing something
witness
on
protection
Sundays.
Program might be helpful here. Okay, the 97-98 roster.
Okay.
Keith Booth went to Maryland. Randy Brown.
Randy Brown.
Judd Buchler?
Buchler.
Buchler.
Arizona, right?
Arizona. Scott Burrell, UConn.
Yep.
Jason Caffey,
Alabama. I kind of remember that name.
Ron Harper. Ron Harper Jr. on the Rutgers.
Yes.
Michael Jordan, obviously. Steve Kerr. Joe Klein went to Notre Dame. Tony Kukoc.
Yep.
Rusty LaRue. Harry Black name.
He's a trainer.
It's totally a Harry Black name.
Went to Wake Forest.
Rusty LaRue.
The backup point guard. Lou Longley. I'm sorry, Luke Longley.
Yeah, okay.
New Mexico. Scottie Pippen. Dennis Rodman. How about, by the way, two of your three studs. Studs is an understatement. Scottie Pippen, University of Central Arkansas.
Incredible.
Dennis Rodman, Southeastern Oklahoma State Tech University.
I said the same thing last night. Now, is that just a whole bunch of luck on the Bulls' part? To be
it's
able to
insane.
To get a guy like Pippen and Rodman. Of course, Rodman, he had already made his name in the NBA. But Pippen, you know, coming from where
Pippen
he
Pippen was a manager.
That's crazy.
At Central Arkansas, plus he grew 6 inches in college. And then Rodman got kicked out of his house when he was 18 and was living in people's backyards. And he's like, I'll play basketball.
Yeah, I can do that. Well, it's incredible.
Dickie Simpkins.
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma State?
Providence.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even close there.
David Vaughn.
No.
Power forward. And then Bill Winnington, who went to St. John's.
Bill Winnington.
The coaching staff was Bill Cartwright, Frank Hamblin, Jimmy Rogers, and Tex Winter. Those were the assistants.
That was interesting, too. The whole, like, I still had this funny moment when they showed the trivia about Phil Jackson. 20 seasons in the NBA, he's never had a losing season. And yet, Jerry Krause was like, this is it for you. I just
it's
don't
unbelievable,
get it.
Man. And it's, at some point, doesn't it, it falls back on Reinsdorf.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I get you're the GM. I get what you built. You're just being absolutely insane. And if you're going to play for some ungodly reason, it's him or me with Michael Jordan.
Oh.
It's him.
Guess what, Jerry?
It's that guy. It's the other guy's been making me all this crazy money. Plus, Phil was originally Krause's guy.
Yeah.
Because he brings him in, puts him with Tex Winter, and works his way behind Doug Collins' back, essentially, to being the head coach. And then it goes from somewhere between that and Krause just being too jealous of all these guys.
So
of all his
weird.
Accomplishments that he built up, and then he wanted to sabotage it.
Yeah.
How about, Doug, again, as someone who was watching this like it was fiction, like a movie, I was confused as to why Doug Collins even, I mean, they were raving about him.
Oh, Michael Jordan loved him.
He said that he loved playing for him, and then it sort of just says, well, there was a difference of opinion, and Doug Collins was out. And I'm
weird.
Like, wait a minute.
Weird. Doug Collins, Illinois State,
and
has
Doug
his
Collins
number retired.
Didn't want to get into it, clearly, when he was asked.
No.
He didn't say anything. I don't know if someone ixnayed the real story there and didn't want it told or something, but to me, that seemed like a moment they glossed over. That I would have liked more information on because it seemed like Michael was so clearly glowing of Doug, and then he sort of was just ousted.
Yeah, Jordan even said I wasn't a big Phil Jackson fan because he wanted to take the ball away from me.
Well, it was the triangle.
Yes.
Which Winter was, that was his baby. And Krause's, that was the guy in basketball that Krause looked up to the most, was Winter. So then he wanted the triangle, and Doug Collins was like, nah, I'm going to just make plays for Jordan, which...
Right. Which makes
okay,
sense.
Okay, that makes sense. But when it came down to, no, I'm not going to do the triangle, then I think, obviously, Doug Collins didn't want to come out and just say they worked behind my back to make sure that Phil was the coach, and I was out even though going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's crazy. How many? So did Phil Jackson, was he coach of all six titles?
Yes. Although it turned out to be a good move because Phil Jackson was a phenomenal coach.
Well, yeah. And then he went to the Lakers and won how many? How many titles does Phil Jackson have?
11.
Oh, he's got 11.
He's got 11 rings. Two as a player, six with the Bulls, three with the Lakers.
More annoying, right? Doug Collins back then or Chris Collins as a player at Duke? Just more
annoying. I don't remember.
How about
Chris Collins as a player at Duke?
How about Doug Collins in the post game?
Perfect.
Saying, I mean, can you imagine sitting down in a post game right now and somebody said, yeah, coach, what was the plan on that last shot? Well, it was to get the ball to Jordan and everybody get the you-know-what out of the way.
Sorry, he had 11 as a coach, two more as a player.
So 13 total titles.
Five with the Lakers, six with the Bulls, and then two more by himself as a player.
And didn't he kind of get removed in L.A.? Did Boss have an issue with him or something?
I mean, his last season, they went 57-25 in 2011.
My goodness.
There was a period where I think Tom Janovich replaced him.
Rudy?
And then Phil came back like the next year.
I think you're right. See, I mean.
Yeah, so.
And you can argue, listen, I do it all the time, that Krzyzewski ought to win an NCAA title every 3 years with the talent he has. But there is something to say about being able to manage that talent. And you heard Steve Kerr last night say, you know, what Phil Jackson did as a coach and what he was able to do to let Dennis Rodman go on this midseason bender and let, you know, Michael Jordan do whatever. You know, I mean, not whatever, but, you know, another thing that, and we can get back to Jackson, another thing that, like, struck me, and they made a big deal of it, and they should, is when Michael Jordan won that first title, and you tell me that when he's sitting there on the court, he doesn't know what to do. Like, they're almost having to, like, it's almost like a wild animal that escaped a cage. Like, they're holding him down, and he doesn't know what to do, and then he goes in the locker room, and he's absolutely hugging the trophy and crying. Tell me that isn't a guy that had one goal in life, and that's to win and be the best.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was awesome to see. And then clearly, as we experience more in the modern social media era with LeBron, he's great. He's just not winning a title. And you saw through those clips that he got asked, hey, Mike, they say you put up a bunch of points. You get your team there, but you can't win.
He said it.
That had to just drive him absolutely insane, especially when the year before you had the Scotty migraine game
against
the Pistons.
I didn't know that.
In game seven.
I had no idea that had occurred.
Yeah.
Why was there the implication that there wasn't? It seemed pretty straightforward. Like Scotty Pippen got a migraine, but then when they asked Jordan, he was like, "Look, I'm not going to say he didn't have a migraine."
Well, I'm sure for Jordan, it was like, this is the biggest game of your life.
It's got to be the worst timing ever. Game seven, the penultimate game really for, or not the ultimate game for you.
And I guess Jordan is a guy that would not have used that as an excuse.
Yeah, I didn't know. When I heard about the Scotty migraine game, I didn't know if Scotty then said, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
Some point he did, but he was terrible first. He went out there and tried it out. And like, you can't see. But yeah, I know in Jordan's mindset, there's like, I work every single day for this moment. There's no way I'm not going to be peak Michael Jordan.
Exactly.
I just can't comprehend someone else not being that.
Yeah. So just quickly, the Lakers thing in 2011, it says Phil Jackson signed a new contract in 2010. He determined himself, he was calling 2011 his last stand. Familiar?
Whoa.
Meaning the 2011 season would be his last. In January of 2011, he reiterated that he personally wanted it to be his final season, explaining that in the past, there was the possibility that maybe he would reconsider, but this year there's no maybe, he said.
Okay.
So the Lakers found his successor in Mike Brown, who was his assistant that year. They first approached Phil Jackson to replace Brown. Jackson requested 2 days to consider the opening. He believed the Lakers would wait for his response, but the Lakers thought it was understood that they would continue their search without him. The team talked to Mike D'Antoni and hired him.
I knew that there was some weird thing to that,
instigated by Phil, more so than the owner saying this has to be. And then, of course, people forget about it, but his executive career with the Knicks was just disastrous.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it was his problem.
I agree.
But, I mean, he basically oversaw the end of the Stoudemire, Carmelo, Tyson Chandler type thing, and then they were just terrible for a few years.
And then
the Knicks officially parted ways with him in 2017.
Yeah. I kept thinking about that with Isaiah. And how bad
we need to talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about Isaiah.
We need to talk about Isaiah and the Piston teams.
Okay, let's do that. Because when we come back, I want to talk about Isaiah and the loathing that Jordan had for him when they were reading that thing and he's like, whatever. I want to talk
Isaiah
about that.
Has that effect on people, and it's not only MJ.
I agree.
And it leads into the dream team and why he got blackballed and everything. And then just, I don't know. The way that Piston team plays, they don't understand why they're hating.
No.
They love it, but then they're like, I don't understand it. It's hilarious.
Well, and as a complete outsider, I don't get it. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, I'm going to get hated for this, but he seems like a lovely guy. He was smiling. He didn't look much older than he did in the footage. I mean, I understand. I get it.
Well, you went to Indiana, first of all, so I hated him.
I get all that, but like as a person, he didn't seem like the type of
you-know-what
hole that would just like, you know.
I never hated him, but maybe there's things I didn't know. And
but just the vitriol.
It seems like Derek knows some of this.
I got some notes.
Okay.
The vitriol on Twitter, and then like you said, Jordan's immediate facial demeanor is completely switching to, I don't want to hear about it. Like,
yeah.
There is like a strong, deep-seated hatred here, and I don't get it.
I totally forgot about Larry Bird and those guys walking off the court. I forgot all about Detroit walking off the court. So we'll talk about the Pistons. There's a cool thing that is happening in this, and it might be my favorite thing watching this Last Dance, and I'll explain what it is. There's so many awesome things about this, but there's one thing that I'm really just loving of how it's just kind of slowly working its way through my basketball career, which is not my career as a player, but as a fan, which is kind of cool. So if you want to weigh in, 359-2255, that's 359-2255. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Remember this? The 2011 Cardinal season one more time.
They came from nowhere.
Hear every pitch, every hit of every game of Cardinals baseball from August 25th against the Pirates through Game 7 of the 2011 World Series.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
The 2011 Cardinals World Series replay every day on the Cardinals Radio Network.
The Cardinals Classic.
They came from nowhere.
Relive some of your favorite Cardinal games from 2011. Monday through Friday at 6:15, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at noon.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
Right here on ESPN 93.5.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment.
Contact Justin or Dave at Thomas & Ellers Insurance in Champaign today. 217-356-2400.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Game day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now offering great deals online to all of Illini Nation. Introducing their biggest online sale ever. T-shirts starting at just $15, crewnecks starting at $20, and hoodies starting at $25. Hundreds of other items are 20% off with free shipping on orders of just $50 or more. You won't want to miss out on these amazing deals. Head to GameDaySpirit.com/sale today. That's GameDaySpirit.com/sale. Big Grove Tavern in downtown Champaign is now offering curbside service for lunch and dinner. Give them a call at 239-3505 from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. daily. Offering their most popular dishes and to-go bottles of wine and spirits. Plus, all gift cards are currently 15% off. Big Grove Tavern misses their guests but wants to stay connected to the community. Thank you to everyone for all your support. Big Grove, big flavor.
The Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lon Tay, Derek Piper to my left, Trevor Valise to my right. We've kind of broke down the NFL draft with the Chicago Bears. Cole Kmet, second rounder. Interesting. Talked all about that. Talked about the Packers and how well they did. Not. And just spent the last segment on The Last Dance last night, series 3 and 4 of this 10-part series. And it just keeps getting better and better. And last night you saw a lot of the Dennis Rodman that maybe you didn't know, especially younger guys. You got to see a lot about that, you know, just taking a little half mid-season bender, just saying, sure, I got to get to Vegas, man. So what the heck? You know, I mean, I'm sure that happens all the time. No, it doesn't. Right now, we're going to welcome in Chin Coleman, Illinois assistant basketball coach. How are you, coach?
Man, I'm doing good. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Everything is good on my end, all good on this end. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to be joined by you. And you know, we're talking all about this, The Last Dance, and I know you're watching it. I don't know anybody that's not watching it. What have your thoughts been through 4 episodes of The Last Dance?
It's been great, man. I lived it. So it brings back some unbelievable memories, and it kind of enlighten you on some inside stuff as well as you live those situations, and obviously you're familiar with some of the I guess you can call them the highlights, but at the same time the intricacies of some of that stuff has been interesting for me as well as someone who lived it and someone who followed along, and it's just the detail stuff, kind of like the inside yes. stuff, so to speak, has been good too to see and bring back a lot of unbelievable memory.
Chin, growing up in Chicago in the middle of the Pistons Bulls rivalry, what was that? What do you remember about your thoughts on Isaiah Thomas and the Bad Boys and what that was like as Jordan and the Bulls were trying to overcome them?
I remember it. I remember all of it. I remember that we weren't prepared. I remember that Michael Jordan was fighting, and all he wanted to do was win. I remember him battling and trying to persevere through, try to find a way to get around an unbelievable mountain, and until that time came. And I remember when they walked off the floor. Like, I remember that. I remember how I was like, oh, wow, you know. But that feeling when they did that, but that also the feeling of getting over that hump was like, bittersweet, you know what I mean? You would have hoped for them to have some class, but I get it, you know, a rivalry like that, and how much in I guess you can call it, like, there was a lot of inside stuff going on with that battle and that series, and for them not to shake hands, a lot of talking.
Yeah, you know,
there was a lot of back and forth stuff. There was a lot of trash talking, and so I think that for them to finally lose and to get over that hump, there was some bitterness, and the bitterness came out. But I think those guys now, if you heard Isaiah, he felt different than how he felt at the time than how he feels now. And obviously, Michael Jordan still doesn't buy it. I don't think they're the best of friends. I don't think that they let bygones be bygones, and you can tell by that. I'm kind of fortunate, man, because I know Michael Jordan. I've had the opportunity to spend time with them and hang out with them and play ball with them, play ball against them and be out to dinner with them, be at his house and be at his office and just, you know, a lot. I spent a lot of time with him on a personal level, and also I coached his son at Whitney Young, Marcus Jordan.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
I share a lot of stories of Michael Jordan stories that I probably won't share here on the radio, but I knew that Michael Jordan, what everybody is now getting to know. I knew that Michael Jordan for a long time.
That's awesome. Visiting with Chin Coleman, Illini assistant coach on the basketball squad. Everybody knows that. I know we need to talk about Adam Miller, and we're going to do that in a second, but I have one more about the last dance from me. Maybe Derek has more, but I think what's kind of cool, Chin, is that I grew up, you know, I was a Sixers fan. Dr. J is my favorite player. He's the reason I like number six. And they won the title when I was 12 years old, and that was so cool. And then to see Bird and Magic come along, and then you remember some of those Pistons teams, and then, of course, Jordan took over. I think one of the coolest things for me in watching this series, and I was gonna mention this coming out of the break, is how I'm watching the evolution of how it did go from, like, that Dr. J, Larry Bird Magic, then to the Pistons, and then now to the Bulls. I think it's just cool to kind of see how it all just unfolded and how one team was the king, and then they weren't. And then the next team was the king, and then they weren't. I think that's cool to see that evolution in this series.
I think that the passing of the torch, so to speak, from Dr. J had that one championship, but then when Magic and Bird came in from college, that deal elevated the NBA, and then obviously the NBA was dying because of Larry and Magic were somewhat on the downslope.
Sure.
And then when Michael Jordan came, it was time to pass the torch to someone who was the next guy, and he took it to a whole nother level. He took it to a level that no one has ever seen. I tell people all the time, those 85 to 88, some 89, 90 highlights of Michael Jordan were seek and destroy. Everybody remembers the championship Michael Jordan. Take a look at the 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. Those highlights of Michael Jordan is incredible. They're like no one has ever seen anybody do some of the things that he did. And that's the true phenomenon of Michael Jordan. But then you saw him develop and evolve, like as so for last night when you talked about him deferring a little bit of his game and finding a way to win and get the ball to Paxton and deferring to Kerr and so on and so forth. Because before then, it was I'm taking on the world. You saw that Michael Jordan. I've been able to kind of follow the Michael Jordan from the 85, 86, 87, 88, to 90 Michael Jordan, to the championship Michael Jordan, two totally different persons, two totally different players, and he had to adapt his game in order to win a championship. And he did that because obviously he was the best player, but he had to kind of add that selfless piece to his game and trust his guys. And so he did that and became a champion.
Chin, the guys you're coaching now are recently – you know, they grew up with Kobe. They grew up with LeBron. Io was a big Kobe fan. You'll recruit guys here in a couple of years. They're Giannis or Luka or whatever it may be. Is this documentary doing you some justice as far as, hey, that's the guy that I keep telling you about and maybe educational lesson?
Without a doubt. And we all, our whole team, and like tomorrow we'll be on the Zoom and every last one of us should be on there. And one of the topics, obviously, is this documentary. And I'm a big LeBron guy. But I will never blasphemy put LeBron over Black Jesus. I just will never do that. I mean, as much as I love LeBron, I'm a huge LeBron guy, and everybody knows that I'm a big LeBron guy. But there comes a where okay, enough is enough, and Michael Jordan is the greatest player to ever play, and I don't think that there ever will be someone like Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan is the reason why these guys now are getting $40 million, $45 million, $50 million a year. It's because of Michael Jordan. He globalized the game. He took the game to another level, and they should be very thankful for Michael Jordan. And the stuff that he did, it won't be done. It won't be duplicated again, and not in my lifetime. Maybe in you guys' lifetime it will, but not in my lifetime. I don't think that it will ever be duplicated again. There is no one. There is no Michael Jordan. I love LeBron James, but he is in a class all by himself.
Amen.
Chin, you mentioned your personal relationship with Mike and coaching his son at Whitney Young. It's really cool that we're getting a chance to see this version of him and wondered how that would be. And, I mean, we knew he was a cool dude, but he's got some swag.
He does.
What was he like as a basketball dad?
Honestly, let me be honest with you guys, man. We had a team at Whitney Young that we had. We had 10, 12 Division I players. We had Ahmad Starks. He went to Oregon State. We had Sam Thompson. He went to Ohio State. We had Marcus Jordan. He went to UCF. We had Chris Coleman. He went to Iowa State. Stan Brown went to LeBron. We had all these guys, right? We had all these Division I players on our team. And we had so many different personalities. And we had a lot of parents who had their opinions because they lived vicariously through their kids. And so we had to, as a staff, we had to deal with a lot of parents who, obviously the kids went to Whitney Young, so they were middle class to upper class individuals. And so they were able to come to all the games, all the practices, because obviously they owned their companies, or they were bosses, or they were doctors, or they were this or that. And so they had a lot of skin in the game, and they had a lot of say so. And so one person, though, who never had nothing to say, was the greatest player to ever play. He would just come to the games. He had security, come to the games, Cisco and Bob, rah, 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 root for the team, boom, he's gone. Wow. I did not hear from Jordan until we were in Peoria at the Civic Center playing in the championship against Jeremy Richmond. When we beat them, that was the first time I've ever heard him. And I heard him the whole entire game. That's the first time I ever wanted. I guess he held it and wait until it was championship time. And then the Michael Jordan, the competitive Michael Jordan, it came out.
So
he
cool.
wanted his son to win a state championship, and we won. I heard my name 1,000 times during that game.
That is so cool.
Great stuff from Chin Coleman, our guest, Illini men's basketball assistant coach. Chin, as you watch this documentary now as a coach, and you see Phil Jackson, and you're out there he's out there on the court doing some Zen yoga, and just the talking to Dennis Rodman saying you're like the backward walking guy in the tribe. Just, but it seemed like the confidence that Mike had in him allowed him to be himself and really rally the guys. Is that something that maybe stands out to you as far as the leader and the head coach being on the same page?
A group of my friends who played in the NBA for tons of years, and we're all good friends, and we all still hang out to this day. And if I said their names, you know, and we talk every day, right? We talked this morning, and that was the caveat of our conversation this morning, was that, man, on the sidebar, right? On the side conversation, everybody is getting a chance to see how good of a coach Phil Jackson was,
right?
Like, you're getting to see the greatness of Phil Jackson in this deal. And don't get lost. Don't allow for that to get lost because of the greatness of Michael Jordan, the Scottie Pippen story, the Dennis Rodman story. Let's not lose perspective of how unbelievable of a coach that Phil Jackson was. He was a coach that understand the psyche part. He was the coach that he could demand this out of you guys. He can ease up, and he can give you a book to ease to stimulate the mind. Yoga and sage, burning sage in the locker room and doing all kind of stuff. He was unbelievable as a coach. And I guess the quirkiness of Phil Jackson is what made him great. Sometimes who you are is what makes you great.
Yeah.
Like, all greatness is different. They all great got something wrong with them, man. You know what I mean? And so you were able, obviously, to see the impact and how unbelievable of a coach that Phil Jackson was on and off the court, dealing with all of those egos. He managed that stuff so well, man. And that's why there'll be forever hate for Krause.
Yep.
We will never, ever forgive Krause. No one in Chicago will ever, ever forgive Krause. Never.
That's the thing that just makes me shake my head. I can't imagine sitting in a room, Coach Coleman, saying, look, Chin, you've done a great job. You've won 5 titles in 7 years, and you're probably going to win a 6, but you're not going to coach next year. I don't get that.
Well, he had the short man complex. He wanted some attention, and he wanted it to be about him instead of except in being a background singer, right?
Yeah,
you still,
true.
You're still getting the credit, Krause. You went foul, Scotty. You did what you went foul, Scotty. You made the trade for Dennis Rodman. You homed Phil Jackson. You got Phil Jackson prepared. You put together the whole Phil Jackson text one of these. You did some deals behind the scenes, some stuff behind the scenes that were unbelievable. They were Einsteinish. Why not be comfortable in your skin with that, and you got to screw the whole deal up? Those guys weren't done. They could have won again. Mm. They could have won 10. If Jordan wouldn't have left for 2 years, they would have won those 2 years, right? And then when he come back, you win 3 more, and then you have to decide on your own to screw things up because you wanted your name in the paper. Like, he's the worst dude that'll ever be in business of a general manager, in my opinion.
Amen. And Chin Coleman's gotten over it, obviously.
Never. I'll never get over it.
I love that.
I'll never get over it.
I could talk to you all day about this Last Dance, but I got to ask you about Adam Miller. Well done, my friend. You just keep bringing him in. The young man signs with Illinois, and what a class you've got coming in. But what does Adam Miller signing, what does that mean for this Illinois team?
Never a doubt with what Adam Miller was going to do in terms of, as far as I'm concerned, and Derek knows that I'm not on social media, and so I don't hear or know all of the stuff that people say until someone sends it to me. So
Smart move by you, Chin. Staying off social media.
I get little messages from people who copy something and say, because they know that I'm not on social media, and so I hear all of the stuff that people say, and it makes me laugh a lot of the times, and I stay even keeled because I know more than what the internet knows, and I'm off of it, so I don't allow for that to creep into my sanctum. But there was never a doubt. Adam Miller is a fight in the line. He was a fight in the line. He never wavered to be a fight in the line. There was no situation whether IO was coming or leaving. It had nothing to do with nothing. Like they there's maybe a 0.9% chance of IO coming back. And if he does come back, Adam will be happy to play with him, and they will be happy to play with each other. And so, whatever that percentage is of IO coming back, I don't know what it is. But anyways, there was never any of that. There was never any wavering. And the kid, you know, decided to do it the way that he decided to do it. You guys got to understand, man, it's a different dynamic of the kid nowadays. It's the social media and these likes and all this stuff these kids are in.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to, like Phil Jackson, let them go to vacation and go to Vegas and do their deal and come back. Like, you got to let these kids do their deal, man. And if they want to wait and do their deal and you got confirmation, you know what's going on, and they want to wait and have a signing party when they want to have it, so because they want to have these people there, what's wrong with them doing that? And that was part of it. And Adam had his deal, and his family wanted to have it in Peoria. He loves Peoria, and so had the opportunity to travel back to Peoria to do it at his grandma's house. And so, unbelievable deal for us. He's a big time player, one of the best players in the country, hands down. He's in my opinion, top 10 player in this class. And we're fortunate enough to have him, and he's going to do great things here for the Fighting Illini.
Chin, I know in Io's 2 years here, worked really close with him. Obviously, you would do the same if he had a third. With Adam, I'm sure, again, that would be the same thing. What will you try to bring out of him? How ready will he be to come in and play a major role as a freshman?
It's pretty much the same stuff. I obviously, get him prepared for the level, get him prepared for the speed, get him prepared for the scouting, get him prepared for the defenses. Get him prepared on how to take on primary defenders, secondary defenders, and all kind of ball screen stuff. People are going to do the playing at a faster pace. Just a lot of the stuff that I do. But, you know, obviously they're different players, and so you have to obviously understand how to train a player with Adam's skill set and how to train a player with Io's skill set. I'm fortunate and blessed enough to have the skills to train 1 through 5. And so we'll obviously spend a lot of time together on all of the stuff that I know and all the stuff that I'm continuing to learn. And he'll be prepared, but he's got a lot of innate ability that I can't teach him. I tell you that. And, he comes with that in his package already, but we're going to work. and we're going to work hard. And he's all about work. He is a kid that if he could right now, he'd be in the gym right now. Unfortunately, we're in a pandemic and he can't. But he's all about work. He's all about working and reaching the next level. And so, look forward to it. Look forward to working with him.
Jimmy, won't throw anybody on the current roster under the bus, but when Kipper came to you this past year and said, hey, we got Nebraska coming up, I need this vacation at camps for a couple of days, but what'd you guys tell him?
Different circumstances, different type of deal. Kipper, not to throw Kipper under the bus, but Dennis Rodman was getting 15, 20 rebounds and guarding everybody on the floor. So if you're Dennis Rodman and you want to go to you want to go to the Ozarks? You want to go to the Ozarks for a couple of days? And we got 2 days off. You can go to the Ozarks for a couple of days and 2 days off. We just have to make sure that you're back in 48 hours for practice.
I love it. I love it. Chin Coleman, thank you so much for the thoughts today. Love your thoughts on Michael Jordan, someone that personally knows him, coached his son. Great stuff today. And, of course, well done on Adam Miller in this class. I know there's still always work to do. That's one thing you know as a coach. You're always looking ahead. So congratulations. Congrats on a wonderful season last year. I'm sorry that obviously you guys didn't get to prove yourself even more. But well done, and thank you. And we'll talk to you soon, Chin. Thank you very much.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys, man. Have a good one. Be safe, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Chin too. Coleman. Great stuff there. I forgot to bring up that I still owe him a beer because he bought me one. And you don't
There'll
ever,
be a day when you pay that back.
You never forget somebody that buys you a beer, right?
He's never forgotten Krause, so I wonder where you're at.
Oh, my. How funny. I wonder where you're at on that list. That was so funny, man. He just went on and on. I'm like, well, at least you've gotten over it. Not. Never, he said. Great stuff with Chin Coleman. Derek, thanks for getting that. That was awesome. And wow, did he have some great things to say about Adam Miller as well. And he's right. He's a guy that does not do social media. It's one thing that Trevor typed into me, no Twitter handle. He just doesn't do that. He's probably smarter than anybody in this country, to be honest with you. Just try it. Try it for, I did it when I went to Canada in July to fish. 3 or 4 days without my phone. Not just social media, my phone in general. Do you know how nice that felt? Oh.
Peace of mind.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody should have, it should be a law that once every month for a day or two, you should have to put your phone away and not even see it. People can get a hold of you if there's emergencies. There's not going to be one that really. All right, great stuff with Chin Coleman. Well done. That was awesome. We're back to wrap it up. It's The Drive.
I miss my old washer. These new machines have a lid lock, no agitator. I can't control the water level. They don't get my clothes very clean. The only good thing is capacity for my bedding. Where can I get a washer like my old one, but with the size I need?
I'm Dennis Reakin, owner of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. These are questions we hear every day. There is a solution. Dick Van Dyke has a GE top load washer. No lid lock, so you can add that dirty sock anytime.
My husband never gets both socks in the hamper.
Control your water level by selecting load size.
Just like my old washer, does it have an agitator?
Yes, like your old one. Plus, easy-to-read dial controls.
I want a good price and your free 10-year protection plan.
At Dick Van Dyke, just $5.39 and free 10-year protection plan in stock now and ready for pickup or delivery. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke, Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Rescue workers face death every day. And far too often, their families lose them while they're helping you on the road. When you see emergency lights flashing, you must slow down and move over to the far lane. That includes red, blue, and orange lights. If you hit someone on the road, you'll be charged with a felony. That means jail time. Help us keep our families safe when we're out helping yours. When the lights are flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Brought to you by Tapman's Towing.
Hey, it's Gina here with ABC Heating and Air. Don't sweat the summer over high energy bills or a chance your air might not start at all. Yeah. Let me send a friendly service technician to your home to give your AC a full tune-up before it gets too hot in East Central Illinois. Call 352-5400. That's 352-5400. Remember, at ABC Heating and Air Conditioning, it's as easy as ABC to always be comfortable. Again, call 352-5400.
Honda BMW is offering free alignments for first responders. Or if you're related to a first responder, maybe it's a spouse. If you're fire, police, anything in the hospitals, maybe you're a janitor for a building that is first responder related, send an email to ben@drivechampagne.com and they'll give you a free alignment. Ben@drivechampagne.com. This offer good till the end of April. Honda BMW serving Champaign County off Neyland Burwash in Savoy.
With Prospect Bank's online banking and bill pay, you can take care of your day-to-day banking needs from the comfort of your own home. Check account balances, transfer money, and pay your bills with our easy-to-use digital platform. Online banking can be accessed through our website, bankprospect.com, or through our mobile banking app. We're behind you with the opportunities you need to stay safe and secure. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Prospect Bank, the Opportunity Bank.
PDR is a AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility right here in Central Illinois. They have an esteemed community reputation, a great facility appearance, and amazing customer service. Plus, the staff is trained and qualified, has the most up-to-date equipment working on your vehicle, a wide scope of services, and warranty coverage. Stop into the AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility, PDR Automotive on North Cunningham in Urbana, or call them at 367-9481.
Well, great stuff with Chin Coleman. Derek, what
it worked out.
It worked out great. That worked out perfect. He mentioned Io's percentage of coming back.
It wasn't high.
It wasn't high, but
I'm not sure he was purposely giving an exact percentage, but it wasn't high.
But we kind of understood that. We kind of understand that. All right, so thanks to Chin Coleman, Illinois basketball assistant coach, and also Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report, writer of the Bear Report. Great stuff with him. Working on some things tomorrow. Maybe cover some more football tomorrow. And we're always thinking up our sleeves. So what's that, Trevor? I didn't hear. Never mind. You stay in there. All right, everybody, have a great Monday night. We will talk to you tomorrow. It is The Drive. I want sports back. I want baseball back. Come on!
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.